Let's get talking with some early morning conversation.
What's happening, people? And once again, welcome back to Breakfast with Kovu here on the Big Bad Trickstar Radio. We're back inside the building with another feature-length interview for the interview hour section. Our daily highlight selection, where we jump into different conversations with artists from around the UK and worldwide about the projects they're working on, where they've come from, and of course, what is on the way. Today, we have a very special pair of people in the building, one I've been looking forward to for a hot minute. We've been playing them on the playlist for a long period of time. They've been doing absolute bits around the world. We have Blue Lab Beats in the building. How are we doing, guys? Are we both good?
Good. Yeah, man.
Yes, yes.
It's great to get both of you in the building, man. Honestly, this is one that I was very happy to kind of lock in. Obviously, with the Breakfast playlist, we tried to make a massive effort to kind of showcase the smoother side of what's going on in world music. And I feel both of you guys are people that are really pushing the boundaries of what you are doing. First of all, I wanted to say a massive congratulations on the success of the album so far. It's been so exciting. I want to dive into a few bits. Before we get into anything, though, I do kind of want to dive into, obviously, the story behind the title of the album. And obviously, some of the collaborations involved. So let's just open it up talking about the album. How long was this in the works?
It's been like about two to three years now. You know, we started this whilst we were making Voyage, our last record.
Okay.
Yeah, and like it was like tracks that didn't make Voyage. And then we were like, oh, let's keep it for another project. And then like just the idea behind Motherland Journey was literally just us, like when we went to Ghana, like hooking up there and stuff like that. We were just like, you know what? We love seeing, you know, just the multi genres that we're hearing out here. You know, let's just do that with our own record in our way, you know?
Definitely, man. Definitely. I mean, obviously, it's one of the title tracks of the project as well, which we were running on the show, which was absolutely fantastic, by the way. An incredible link up, obviously, with Killy Beats and Fela Kuti. How was that to kind of work on as an individual project?
Wow, to work with Kill Beats obviously was absolutely incredible. It was very random how it happened, because like we weren't supposed to even be recording out there, and then we just end up doing it because we're in Ghana, you know, at the time. And then Fela Kuti's people, that was really crazy, because you know, obviously, yeah, like his publishers came to us and was like, we want you to sample Fela Kuti. We don't normally let people do it that often, so yeah, you know, here's a list of 50 songs, choose one of them. Man, you know,
how do you go about choosing a tune in that scenario then? Because obviously we're talking about one of the kind of biggest legends in sort of music on a global scale. Like, how do you go about picking a tune from a list of 50?
I mean, like, yeah, we didn't reply for like 2 months because we couldn't believe it. To be honest, yeah, that's literally what happened. And then we were just like, this is so mad. What? And then finally we were like, you know what? Okay, it's this track. And like, for some reason, like that track's chord progression was similar to what we were doing. And so like, we made the music before the acapella, before actually making it to the acapella. Normally you listen to the acapella, then you do a chord progression, but we did it in reverse.
Wow.
With that track.
It's a very different kind of process then. Something obviously I wanted to kind of touch on, obviously with this being such a kind of wide album, obviously we're in different locations right about now. What would like a normal studio session be about with you guys? Like, are you normally in the studio together? Is it about sending stuff back and forth? Like, what's the sort of general process with you?
We're normally in there together, like in the same room. It was just that during the first lockdown, that's when we were sending stuff back and forth.
Yeah, that makes sense. Obviously, it was a bizarre kind of time. And obviously, this album, obviously, as you said, has been in the works for like a long period of time during that kind of process. Like, when you're putting together like lists of collaborations, again, of this kind of magnitude, did you find that was, obviously, it would have been a bit of a hindrance, but did you find yourself kind of working out like new methods of working and things like that? Like, was it, how did you kind of find it as a process?
Yeah, I'd say half of the album we did in the new recording way, and then the other half is with people, you know. But like, for example, stuff like tracks like Labels, everyone thinks, oh yeah, like that's a big string section. Well, that's actually just four people.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was the thing of, we had to get four string players that knew how to play, one or two of them know cello, but the rest of them know viola and violin as well. So they were all layering the tracks separately.
Wow.
So then that's that.
It's such a crazy kind of process to kind of think about. Obviously, when we listen through, we just kind of hear, it almost does sound like it's all live. It does sound like it's all in sort of one-take scenarios. Obviously, you mentioned this album took a long period of time to make. Like, how did you kind of come up with the list of collaborations for the project? Because it is stacked, I've got to say. Like, it's a ridiculous level of collaborative material on here.
Thank you. I mean, yeah, it's a whole festival, to be honest. A whole damn festival, yeah. So, with that really, like, they're all just close friends of ours, really. Yeah. And then, like, some people, yeah, people like Kofi Stone and stuff, you know, like, their publishers is the same. Our publishers are the same as his, basically. So, like, that was really easy to reach out to. Tiana Major 9, we did her third ever studio session. So we've known her from the beginning.
Wow. So that's a long, long kind of relationship that's gone on there.
Yeah, yeah. You know, so, yeah. And she was in the same studio session when we were making Sam Cooke, Marvin Gaye with Koji Radical, like way, way back, you know, and that was her, that track was her third ever session.
Amazing. I mean, it's such a kind of cool thing to kind of look through, man. Obviously, kind of having the project now finished and out there after all the time that's been kind of, it's been kind of cooking. For, I suppose, both of you, like, how does it feel for it to finally be like out there and not have to worry about getting it finished?
Damn. How does it feel? Like, I'm just glad it's finally out. Like, because, like, it just felt like at a certain point, I was like, no, I could just make another track. Originally, what was it, David? 70 demos?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we had to choose 70 demos and then choose the best 17 out of that, you know?
So that's a long old process then, kind of getting everything down and actually narrowing it down to what is a very well kind of assembled project when you actually look through it. Like, how has the response been since it's been landing? Because obviously there are so many different people involved. I'm assuming it's being like everyone sharing their own individual favorites from there. Like, how's the response been from your end?
Yeah, a lot of people, like, they've had the album on repeat, like, for the entire day. Like,
yeah,
literally. Yeah, like, our phones have been blowing up. People saying, yeah, they've been rinsing out the whole album. So it's a journey for them. When they get to, like, from track 5 to track 16 or something, they don't realize it's the same album. Like, yeah.
Did you build it with that kind of thing? When you were putting the demos together, kind of go, did you want it to be played as a long play, or was it literally just assembling the ones that kind of worked?
Both. Personally, both, yeah, because, like, it was literally just like obviously, like, for every album blueprint, we always look at Stevie Wonder's songs, The Key of Life, and what he did on that record, because personally I think that's one of the best records ever made. And obviously he just had loads of genres. He had loads of different genres. And then you're like, how did he do that? Because it's like, normally in commercial theory of music and stuff, this shouldn't work. How did he achieve that? Oh, it's because he knows that he knows he's good within all these pockets. All right, cool. Okay, with this album, I really want to try and achieve that. Like, with all Blue Lab albums, it's like been a kind of similar thing, but especially this record here. Like, I was like, you know what? We literally traveled back to Motherland, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
And then it was like, we got extra inspiration, especially working with Kill Beats. Okay, like, let's really draw up this concept. And it's just a thing of, it's like, you know, we're drawing, you know, black music from States, you know, from black music from UK, you know, the instrumental scene that's going on in the UK, like, you obviously hear that kind of vibe in tracks like Warp. You know, you hear the more boom bap stuff in, you know, more boom bap, Dilla swing stuff, obviously, on labels. And then you listen to the Afrobeats vibes. And then, like, they're kind of like I'm a piano inspired, like, I wouldn't say I'm a piano track, but I'm a piano inspired thing with, you know, Fela Kuti and stuff, you know. So it's all of that, but we learned that especially going to Ghana, because, you know, when you go to a Ghanaian club, they just play every single different genre, and it's just beautiful.
Was there anything you were, like, surprised at hearing?
I mean, like, obviously, yeah, obviously in Ghana, like, there's a lot of artists that aren't on Spotify because there's a really weird legal thing that is still in Africa with Western apps, which is really sad and is very, very annoying. But then obviously, because they know about that limitation, they then have their own apps over there. You know, so for example, mixtape culture is still really big. Like, especially West Africa, yeah. So then, because the mixtape culture is big, they then they earn from live shows, like, a big amount. Yeah, like, not from beginning, but like, when you get big there, then yeah, so you can earn a mad amount.
It's such an interesting thing to kind of listen through, man, especially like, kind of, I suppose, coming, like, kind of traveling over there in the sort of mindset with an album kind of being created. Like, it's such an interesting thing. And then hearing you talking through the kind of depth of the album that you've put together in regards to genres and styles, it's such an interesting ball of things to kind of talk through. And obviously, I'm going to ask the question which no artist wants to answer when they're talking about their own body of work, which is, of course, if you were to kind of pick a track that you feel, I'm doing this in the nicest way possible rather than saying what's your favorite, but if you were to pick a track that you feel kind of represents, I suppose, your journey throughout creating the album, which one of them from this listing would you say it would be, for both of you as well?
Ooh, I think it's between, for me, it's in between Warp and Motherland Journey. I'd say it's between that for me, definitely. What are you, David?
Like, me, it would be Motherland Journey and Labels.
Interesting. It's quite interesting.
No, to be honest, actually, yeah, I would say Labels as well, actually. Yeah, because Labels, that was just like, that was like, oh wow, big string section really works for our music. Like, because that was the first track we got sent back from Steve Hussey. Shout out Steve Hussey. He's the string composer for the three tracks on the album, basically. Yeah,
amazing. I mean, this is the thing, when we kind of talk to people on this show about the projects they're working on, I love diving into, more than anything, their sort of experiences of putting things together. And obviously, as producers first foremost, and very established, very clearly widely gifted in what you do, I always have to kind of move things into a conversation about specifics, especially in regards to studio stuff. And every time I answer this question, I get a different answer from every single producer we've kind of had on this show. A must-have tool, an item, a thing you have to have in a studio environment, what is it?
A good drum machine.
Okay.
Of course, yeah, a good drum machine. For vocals, obviously, a good preamp. Like, that is key. You can have a good microphone, but if the preamp isn't there, your stuff's not gonna slap, you know. It's weird, actually. You know what? Before equipment, it's actually just understanding the room.
Okay,
that's the main thing, because you can do anything with like the smallest bit of equipment. It's actually understanding the whole room and being collaborative with everyone. You know, that's my main thing, definitely. I think that is way before equipment, because you can make an amazing track, you know, from, you know, like. You know, literally some sticks and then a kick drum, you know. It's just like, but it's depending on everyone else's imagination.
That makes a lot of sense. That's my main thing. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, man. David, what about yourself in regards to, if you're in a studio environment, like, what's one thing you have to have when you're there?
An open mind.
There we go, you see. That's a very good answer, man. That's a really good answer. And I feel both of the things you've said there kind of dive into the concept of collaborations, which is obviously a very heavy theme on this album. I feel it's a very heavy theme with the works you guys do anyway. It's all about kind of trying out different things and trying things with different people. One thing I did want to ask before we begin to round things off, as I've got you on the lines, sort of outside the box collaborations, obviously you've said on this album, a lot of these people are people you're close to or people you've worked with already,
yeah,
or people you've already got those, yes, relationships with. Who are potentially some people you'd like to kind of work with that are outside of those sort of typical boxes?
Wow. So yeah, you know, obviously, one of them we're working with at the moment, I can't confirm who, But yeah, like it's very, very bad. But big inspo, definitely. Who else? Yeah, obviously No Worries. So Anderson .Paak and Knowledge. Like that's just like my favorite duo. I'm so happy they're dropping something. I don't know when, but I know they're dropping something. Like they've announced that. So yeah, I'm happy about that. My God, who else? Damn, I don't know. Yeah, like I think like also we collaborated with Shabaka Hutchkins the other day. That was really amazing. Yeah, nice. Yeah, he's got really good energy. Yeah, yeah.
Awesome, man. Awesome. David, what about yourself? Are there any names that kind of stick out to you?
I feel like we can definitely do something with any.
Any is amazing at what she does.
Like Little Sims or someone. Yeah, Little Sims, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? I can hear both of them literally happening. I can sort of see the kind of the twist of how it would work as well. It's really interesting, guys, and I've got to say it's been great kind of diving into the conversation with you today. I just wanted to kind of ask, obviously the album's out there now, and obviously it's available on streaming platforms and things like that. What's kind of the next thing on the road for you? Because I get the impression you're constantly in the studio, you're constantly working on what's next. Obviously you said with Motherland Journey you were working on that whilst you were kind of finishing off the previous project anyway. So like what's next
for you? What's next? We're going on tour. We'll be posting a poster like hopefully next week or something with a bunch of tour dates. It's a lot of shows in London, and then near the end of the year, then we're gonna go more out of London, basically. Yeah, because at the moment it's like in London and then some Barcelona, this, you know. So, and then later in the year it'll be out of London. Still amazing. In the UK, yeah.
Amazing. I can definitely imagine this sort of album being something that would be amazing in that live setting, especially with all the energy and obviously with everyone now knowing the album a lot better as well, a little bit further down the line. Guys, I've got to say, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show today. Thank you for taking the time of what I know is going to be a very busy schedule. And it's been great to kind of chat and kind of break down the album with you both. Thank you for taking the time out of your day.
Amazing. Great. Thank you, man.
Thank you, man.
It's been great to get you on. Keep it locked and don't go anywhere, guys. We're going to jump into a couple of cuts off the album next. And then following that, we are going to jump into today's edition of the Pull Up 30. So keep it locked and don't go anywhere. We're live on Trickstar Radio this morning.
Recording stopped.
The Trickstar Radio app. Available from the App Store and Google Play. Somebody said pull up! In partnership with Beatport and Function One.
Trickstar Radio.
The best in underground music culture.